Peace has returned to the Bolivian capital, La Paz, following weeks of deadly riots that led to Friday's resignation of President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lasada. The rebellion was largely the work of the poor indigenous people of Bolivia's highlands, whose confrontational tactics have made them a force to be reckoned with. NPR's Martin Costi reports from La Paz.
As normal life returned to La Paz, residents came out to survey the damage. The monuments and the plazas are covered with graffiti condemning the former president's unpopular plan to sell natural gas to the U.S., the spark that touched off this rebellion. Walking around San Francisco Square, retired professor Jorge Mendoza can barely contain his admiration for what happened here.
Veo este problema que ha sido una victoria.
I see this problem that took place as a victory of the military tactics of the Aymara Indians, Mendoza says. When he refers to the Aymara, Mendoza gestures upward toward the steep hillside slums that loom over La Paz. This is Munaypata, one of those neighborhoods. Almost everyone here is Aymara, so much so that American anthropology researcher Stephen Scott has learned the Aymara language in order to work here. Looking down at the 2,000-foot high view of central La Paz, Scott says last week's siege was very much an indigenous phenomenon.
People start from the top, from El Alto, and they march down to the center. And it is the idea of taking control of the city. There are several indigenous festivals, Aymara festivals, one called Gran Poder, which is literally a takeover of the streets by the Aymara.
2 days after toppling a president, the men of Munaypata gather in the street to discuss their achievement. Juan Luis Salas is still angry at the government for comparing them to terrorists.
Nuestra arma ha sido los cinco dedos que tenemos.
Our weapons were the five fingers on our hand to set up the roadblocks and our two legs to run away from the bullets that they shot at us, Salas says. Despite the urban setting, Aymara identity is still strong. The women wear bowler hats. The men often talk around plugs of green coca leaf tucked into their cheeks. Many moved here after Bolivia's tin mines privatized and cut their workforces. They came here looking for jobs in textile factories. But those factories closed, unable to compete with cheap imports. One of the biggest job killers has been the used clothing donated by well-meaning Americans. These people feel that they've spent the last 5 centuries at the mercy of economic decisions made elsewhere. Pedro Sirpas is another Munaypata resident.
Somos olvidados, marginados. Somos una nación clandestina.
We are forgotten and marginalized. We are a clandestine nation that's now emerging. So in the face of this indigenous majority in this country, it's time for an indigenous president.
Bolivians don't yet have an indigenous president. Instead, they have Carlos Mesa, the former vice president who took office on Friday night. Mesa is white, but he's in tune enough to sprinkle his speech with Aymara words. Hours after taking office, Mesa visited El Alto, the highest of the hillside neighborhoods. He spoke to the crowd in a street still littered with the rubble left by their rebellion, including the hulk of a railroad car that they'd dragged in to block the road. The new president paid tribute to the people who'd battled government troops just days before.
A las mujeres y a los hombres que nacidos de la sangre Aymara del Alto.
To the men and women born of El Alto's Aymara blood, who sacrificed this blood to defend one of our country's fundamental natural resources, Mesa said. So far, Mesa has their sympathy. Most say they're willing to give him a few months to prove that he's on their side. But if it turns out that he's not, they say they won't hesitate to come down the mountainside again. Martin Costi, NPR News, La Paz.